brings us in all of our lives. I don't know if any of you know of anyone who may be having a child anytime soon, or if you want to kind of keep a name in mind. I want to give you a name today that I hope will maybe help you out, okay? If you want to be a grandparent, and maybe you want to give an idea to your kids about, you know, maybe a possible name for a baby, I have one for us all today. If anybody just, this is mainly for a boy, I would think, but anyway, I think that you'd all like this name. The name is Jehoshaphat. It's a good name. That's one of those names that he'd be the only boy in the class with that name, right? I mean, everybody loves a unique name. You want a unique name? Go with Jehoshaphat. It's a good one. And it's a good one because we kind of learn about him in the Bible, okay? That's where this name's coming from, and we're going to talk about him today. And I think in a helpful way about, some of you might change your mind. You might be saying, I don't know about that name. I don't know if I'd want to name my kid Jehoshaphat. I don't know if I want my grandkid being, you know, there's all kinds of ways that you can create a little nickname out of it, though, too, because there's a lot of syllables, okay? So you'd be all good. But anyway, we're going to look at Jehoshaphat, and we're going to be in 2 Chronicles. Again, you might want to get started trying to find that if you have your Bibles there. 2 Chronicles today. But we want to look at this man and at what was taking place in their lives at the time, and just allow God to speak into our lives right where we are. You know, sometimes you think back at some of these Old Testament stories, you might think, well, that doesn't really apply to me. Or, you know, that's just old stuff. Those are just old stories. What's that have to do with me? But you know, I believe that God's word is written in such a way that even though maybe it was a story and an account of a person's life 3,000 years ago, it still matters. And if you've been reading the Bible for any length of time, you recognize that God still speaks through his word, even out of stories from 2 Chronicles. So we're going to look at that here today. But before we jump into chapter 20, I just want to set the stage to kind of introduce you to Jehoshaphat. And first of all, we might have a challenge after church to who can say Jehoshaphat three times really fast, the best, okay? Without losing track of something there. But anyway, I want to just introduce you to him from chapter 19. From 2 Chronicles 19, here's a couple little snippets of who this man is. And first of all, he's the king of Judah. So he's a leader. And the great thing about him is in verse 4 of chapter 19, it says that he led the way back to God. You see, not all the leaders in Israel or all the leaders in Judah led people toward God. In fact, many led people away from God. But Jehoshaphat is one of those who led people back to God. The second thing we kind of learn about him is that in verse 6, it describes that when he appointed new judges, this is what he told them. He said, "Consider carefully what you do, because you are not judging mere mortals, but for the Lord, who is with you whenever you give a verdict." In other words, he was saying, it's not about your own personal opinion. The decisions you are making need to have God behind them. And so he's trying to help even his leaders, those around him, to recognize that their responsibility was a calling from God. The third thing I'll just note out of chapter 19 is that as he also appointed priests, he gave them these orders in verse 8, chapter 19, verse 8. "You must serve faithfully and wholeheartedly in the fear of the Lord." And then like another verse or so later, he says that your main responsibility as a priest is to warn people about sin, to help people recognize the danger and the devastation that sin can bring, and to help them to know that only God can save. And so that's chapter 19. But when you begin chapter 20, we are thrown right into a crisis moment for Jehoshaphat and the people. And what has happened is there is a group of three nations that kind of have now ganged up in order to attack the people of Judah. And they come from Moab, Ammon, and Edom. And they're planning an attack against Jehoshaphat and his people in Judah. And so I want to pick up reading in chapter 20, verses 3 and 4, where it says, "Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. And the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him." The first thing Jehoshaphat does is he sought the Lord. You know, sometimes that's like something we think about later on when nothing else seems to come together. You know, when you're faced with a crisis and you think of all these other kinds of things, but the first thing to do and the thing that Jehoshaphat led these people to do was to seek God. You will not find really what you need without seeking him. And so he sought the Lord and he led the people in seeking the Lord. He was convinced that the Lord would hear their prayers and that when they cried out for help, God would come and help them. And it says in verse 9 how he was just convinced that in their distress that you will hear us and save us. That's faith, isn't it? Believing that God really does care. Believing that God really does hear our prayers. And that the Lord will come into our situation. But one of the things I appreciated so much about Jehoshaphat in this chapter is something that I just want to highlight. It's out of verse 12. He was honest. He says, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." You see, as Jehoshaphat led the people in prayer, a part of his prayer was, you know what? I don't know exactly what to do. But my eyes are going to be on you. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of times in life where I don't know for sure what to do, how to handle it, you know, how to deal with things. But the challenge and the call is always, Lord, help me keep my eyes on you. There may be some of you here today, and there probably are some facing some situation, and you don't know what to do. Just turn your eyes focused on the Lord. He's the one that knows best and can help best anyway. And one of the beautiful things about Jehoshaphat is the fact that he led the people to do that, to seek the Lord so that they could see him, to put their eyes on him. There are so many times in life where we just don't know. But you know what? We turn to the one who does. Amen? We turn to him and we put our eyes on him. I love the couple of verses here that I want to share out of, first of all, 2 Chronicles 15:2, where a prophet named Azariah says to King Asa at the time, he says, "Listen to me, Asa," he shouted. Listen, all you people of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. And whenever you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you." And then the scripture from Isaiah 55, 6 puts it this way. "Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call on him while he's near." Jehoshaphat led these folks to seek the Lord. And I just want to encourage us all today, whatever you might be dealing with, where maybe you're trying to figure out answers all kinds of other ways, Can I just have us all stop and just remind myself and all of us, seek him. Amen? The second thing I want to highlight in this whole passage and story is this, that as he sought the Lord, he also then heard from the Lord. He heard the Lord. Here's something I truly, truly believe. You will be more likely to hear the Lord if you've committed yourself to seeking the Lord. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? It makes sense, doesn't it? Don't expect to probably hear from the Lord if you're really not seeking the Lord. You have to give your attention to seeking, but then you will hear, and he will hear you. In verse 15 there in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it says, we hear that the Lord says to Jehoshaphat through Jehaziel, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. Because these three that have come against them had this huge army. Jehoshaphat says, I don't know exactly what to do, but I'm going to look to the Lord. But I love what it says here in this verse. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Sometimes we just need to be reminded that it's really not all about us. And that some of the battles that we have to deal with, if we attempt to do it alone, we won't make it. If we attempt to do it without God, it's going to be a disaster. The battle's not ours, it's his. And I'm glad that the Lord reminds me from time to time as a pastor, you know what? It's not my church, it's his church. Whatever challenges we might face, never face them alone. Because it's his. And I'm his. And so no matter what you're facing, if you're a child of God, you're not facing it alone. And the Lord's the one who can help you deal with the battle. And I love how nearly every time throughout Scripture, nearly every time the Lord speaks to someone in the middle of the crisis, nearly every time the first words are, do not be afraid. And he's in essence saying, you can trust me. You don't have to be afraid. You can trust me. I love the idea and the picture, and it was like this when we had our kids, and it was like this when I was a kid. But if you were afraid, and especially as a young child, you were afraid, and you know, mom or dad or someone came close, it seemed to help dissipate the fear, didn't it? Because the one you trusted, the one who you knew cared about you, was there. The presence of that person made a difference. Psalm 47, 10 and 11 says this, God's pleasure is not in strength of horses or the delight in the legs of a man, but the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. We're reminded here in this scripture that the battle is not ours, but it's the Lord's. And so notice in verse 17, he says that you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. It says, get out there, take your positions, and then watch. You know, they're not staying home. They're headed out to the battlefield. They're a part of the battle, but then they're told to just watch and see what God does. I love that line that just remind us that sometimes the main thing we need to do is to just stand firm, stand your ground, just don't move. Because our temptation is to run, isn't it? Our temptation when we're facing crises moments, when we're facing battles of whatever sort, is to try to run, to try to escape. And the Lord's saying, I'm with you. Don't need to run. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Just stand firm. I was thinking about in the book of Ephesians where he describes the armor of God. Remember all the descriptions of the armor of God? The one thing we don't often talk a lot about, because you keep talking about all the pieces of the armor that God gives us, is that these are some of the lines that are in there. Be strong in the Lord. Take your stand against the devil's schemes. Stand your ground. Stand firm. Sometimes it's not about what we do, but maybe what we don't do. We don't run. We just stand firm. Stand our ground with God, knowing we are not alone. You know, sometimes the greatest thing we can sometimes do is just not quit or to show up. And it makes a difference in being able to handle that particular situation. In Isaiah 7:9, it says, if you don't stand firm in your faith, you'll not stand at all. Stand firm. For some of us here today, when you're kind of being pushed and shoved in different kinds of directions and tempted in kind of different ways, right now maybe the best thing you can do is just stand firm. Just don't move and keep your eyes on the Lord. Just stay where you are and trust the Lord. Well, one of the fascinating things about this whole story is the fact that in the midst of all of this, that these people are in worship. Verse 18 describes how the king is bowed with his face to the ground before God, and how the people fall on the ground before God with their faces down to the ground. And in verse 20 he says, have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, you will be successful. And so it's in a context of worship that they come to this battle. And the final third point I want to just share here today is just simply, you know, not only he sought the Lord and he heard the Lord, but also he praised the Lord. And in fact, he invited all to praise, and so it's they praised the Lord. Notice in verse 21 that King Jehoshaphat appoints a praise band to lead the army. Pastor Kayla, you and the worship team are first out to battle, okay? Seriously. It was a worship team that led the way into battle. They were the singers that were appointed to lead the way into battle. Why would that be? Because it's in the praises of God that, first of all, you give courage to the army, but also that you let the enemy know that God's the one leading the way, and that the God whom we praise is the one we're going to depend on. And the people were led by a praise band, a worship team, into the battle. And the song they sang was this, in verse 21. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. They go into the battle with thanksgiving to God, because God is who he has said he was, and we can depend upon him. And while they were singing, it says that the Lord set an ambush against the opposing army, and while they're watching, while the praise band is singing, the enemy is defeated. And it goes and describes, not only did the Lord lead them out in praise, but you know, after the enemy is defeated, they go back home and praise too. Praise is both before and after the battle. It's not just after the battle, you know. I mean, we can often think of saying thank you to God after we've gotten through it, right? But in this particular passage, he's saying give thanks to the Lord and give praise to God before the battle. It's not our natural inclination at all, is it? But praising the Lord even before the battle will give us courage, because we know that the Lord is there with us. You see, when we praise the Lord, we're already counting on the promises that God's made to be with us. We're leaning on promises God's made to us. You said you'd be with us when we have to face life situations. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. You are with us. You'll be with us. Sometimes we don't always feel like praising the Lord. Amen. We may not be excited about the idea of praising God, especially when we're scared to death. And I'm not talking about kind of a false, you know, just go through the motion thing so much as I'm just, sometimes we need to be reminded that God is always worthy of praise, no matter what our situation. And so we commit to praising Him. And sometime after that, many times our emotions will catch up. But when you begin to act upon that commitment to praising the Lord, that's when God begins to do the work that He does in us and even through us. There's a scripture that reminds us that it's God who inhabits the praise of His people. And it comes out of a relationship with Him of true love, a relationship of faith. That's why we praise the Lord. Several years ago, there was a song out, and we would sing it from time to time, called "The Battle Belongs to the Lord," right? Anybody remember that song?
No.
You don't remember that,
no,
Judy?
Never sang it.
Oh, okay. Well, one of the things about that song is like every other line was this: the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. You know, and there'd be another line in between, but it always come right back to that. And I think one of the reasons that was the case was because that's the reminder we need the most. That the battles that we face are not just ours. If we belong to God and God is with us and in us, then we're in it together. And the battle belongs to Him. Well, in this passage, I hope that you've, in a brief way, gotten a little glimpse of Jehoshaphat. And I just wonder, anybody change their mind about maybe naming your next child, grandchild, or whatever Jehoshaphat? No, any change of, no? Come on. Your next one? Okay, you do that. We're looking forward to that one. So, is your name Abraham?
No. Sarah maybe.
Seek the Lord, hear Him, listen to Him, and give Him praise. Those are some good things to learn from old King Jehoshaphat, especially when you're faced with a crisis. When you're faced with a challenge, when you're faced with a battle, seek the Lord. Keep your eyes on Him. Listen for what the Lord says. He'll have a good word. He'll have the right word. And then give Him praise. And let praise be what helps you deal with the crisis. Amen? Let's pray together, and then we're going to sing together. Lord Jesus, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for Your word that speaks to us, Lord, out of stories and people that sometimes we've never heard of or don't remember hearing. And yet, Lord, the message that comes through speaks to where we are. And Lord, we just pray today that You would help us to keep our eyes fixed on you and to keep seeking after you. Give us ears that, Lord, will listen to what you have to say to us. And that, Lord, then will carry out those orders that you give us. And that, Lord, we'll do it all with thanksgiving and praise, because we really do trust you and we know you really do love us. And so, Lord, we pray it all in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.